Tonight I want to share with us from God's Word the message entitled, Taken Care of by God. Taken Care of by God. Mark chapter 6. You know, oftentimes in our lives of discipleship for the Lord Jesus Christ, we hit times of hardship. If it hasn't happened to you, hang on, it will. Just look into God's Word. The Apostle Paul, John, Peter, all of them experienced hardship in their lives for following Jesus Christ. Sometimes people say, well, you know, the task that God has called me to is just too rough. I don't see how on earth I can handle it. It could be that some people have said, well, the job doesn't seem to be that hard, but, you know, the resources that have been placed into my hands just don't seem to be enough. So how can I get the job done? Or we think perhaps, as David did so oftentimes in the Psalms, that in the midst of our lives of serving the Lord and hardship hits, it seems perhaps that he's forgotten us. I made that comment one night several years ago about people thinking perhaps that God had forgotten them, and somebody took me to task that that just wouldn't happen. And I says, have you ever read the Psalms? Have you ever read how David cried out to God because he felt he was all alone? And so there may be reasons, or whatever word we want to use, not excuses, reasons, while we fear that it's just too hard to serve the Lord. But I want us to know tonight that no matter where we are in our walk of discipleship with Jesus Christ, that he is a God who has made a commitment to us. He is ever faithful. He is absolutely trustworthy. Over and over again, he has proven himself in his word, and he has proven himself to you and to me. And Francine, you are my unseen example that I do not have written down on my page. How awesome God is to take care of you. What does the word say? Even before they call, I will answer. Before you called, he already answered. What an absolute wonderful testimony. Thank you for sharing with us tonight. And so tonight, as we continue on our series in the Gospel of Mark, we're going to see that the Lord Jesus is sending his disciples out on a very special expedition, a mission that they have not been out on before by themselves. Now, we don't know what went on in their minds as the Lord Jesus began to share with them what he was going to have them do. But we can only imagine that perhaps as they understood that they were going out on their own for the first time, that there might be situations that they just were not prepared for. So what does he say to them? What instructions does he give them so that they can go on in strength as they serve him? We're looking at Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 7. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Now notice, please. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. This account of our Lord sending out the 12 disciples is not only found here in Mark chapter 6, it's also found in Matthew 10 verses 1 through 42 and Luke 9, 1 through 6. In the weeks ahead, we're going to spend some time in Matthew 10 because Matthew shares some thoughts with us that are not found in Mark or Luke, and they are very pertinent to our lives today, even as it was then. The Lord Jesus has not said that serving him would be easy. He never said that. But he did say that in the midst of our serving him, that he would be with us. Now, up till now, as we look into Mark chapter 6, these men have been with the Lord Jesus as he's gone out ministering to people, healing people, seeing people delivered of demons. But now they're going to go out on their own. And he tells them in so many words that as his emissaries, as his ambassadors, that there's something that they really have to understand, something that they have to remember as they go out from him by themselves. The first thing is this, that they must depend upon him for the very necessities of life. They must depend upon him for the very necessities of life. Now, we need to understand that the 12 disciples by then were a divinely commissioned, recognized group belonging to Jesus. They'd been traveling with the Lord Jesus. They had seen him teach. They'd seen him heal. Can you imagine what it must have been like to have been with Jesus and to see him bring sight to a man born blind? To see him bring healing to a man who could not walk, and all of a sudden he's leaping and joyous and praising God. To see a person that's filled with leprosy, all of a sudden having clean skin, they can be restored to their families. They can enjoy what God has planned for them. How absolutely awesome that must have been. Now, there is something that we need to understand. In verse 7, the form of the phrase "sent them out" from the Greek says something tremendously important to us that we probably would miss if we just read it in the English. From the Greek, it tells us that as he sent them out, that he individually took the men two by two and he commissioned them to go out in his name. Now, as I thought of that, he just didn't take the 12. He took six pairs of two. What this said to me was this: there's nothing haphazard about the Lord Jesus. He never does anything halfway. That means that when he thought of this ministry that they were going to do, he thought of who they were and what they were going to be asked to do. And as I thought of that, as pertains to us, is that even before he called you and me to serve him, it means that he understands completely who we are. Now, I don't know if there's anybody in your life that absolutely 100% understands you. I don't think so. Now, we husbands, we think we understand our wives. What do you think, men? No. You know who's saying that the loudest? That's our wives. And wives, you probably do not fully understand us. That's why it's so great getting to spend our lives together. We get to understand each other. But here's the fact. God understands us. He knows what makes us tick. He knows the fears that you and I have. He knows the inhibitions, maybe the problems that we would have in serving him. And so he crafts us personally for the privilege of serving him. He knows you. And I want you to be assured of that tonight. You'll also notice that the Lord Jesus sent these men out two by two. Now, this wasn't something new. Those Jewish men who collected alms were sent out two by two. John's disciples went out two by two. So this wasn't something new, but the Lord Jesus had to do this for a particular reason. You see, the law said in Deuteronomy 19:15 that a matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So when his men came back and shared with others what had happened through them, if it just would have been their alone testimony, they would have said, "Your testimony does not square with our Mosaic law." So the Lord Jesus, wanting to honor the law and making sure that he fulfilled the law, great or small, made sure that his men went out two by two so that the law was fulfilled as they shared their testimony. It also was an opportunity for them to receive encouragement from the other as they went out. Now you will also notice that the Lord Jesus sent them out with his authority. This is absolutely important as we think of the ministry of the disciples, of the apostles. And as we think of it in today and our lives, it says that he sent them out with his authority. This was not a limited authority in scope or in duration, but a complete authority which solely belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why did these men have to have this authority as they ministered in Jesus' name? Well, our scripture tells us that they were with people who were demon-possessed. These people were under the control of demons, these unclean spirits. These unclean spirits belonged to the army of Satan. They were morally filthy. And the people that were possessed of them were held in a grip which they could not be set free of. And there was no other way for these demon-possessed people to be set free unless the power of Jesus Christ would do it. Well, since the Lord Jesus sent these men out in his name, he had to give them his authority, whereby in his name, as they commanded, these enemies would have to flee. And so these men were going out in Jesus' name under his authority, delivering people of this demon possession and seeing them healed of the infirmities which had come upon their lives. Now, you and I are not doing that today, but there is an application for us here. In the authority that Jesus Christ gives us as his children, in the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I have the privilege to preach and witness to others of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And in the power that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, when they place their faith in him for the forgiveness of their sins, when they repent of their sins, they too are set free. So remember, when you and I give a witness for Jesus Christ, it's not in our puny strength that we do it. We do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. We do it in the authority of Jesus Christ because he commands us to go into all of the world and to preach his gospel. So the people are born again. They are redeemed. They are reclaimed. What an awesome God we serve, dear people. It is our privilege in his name and in his authority to proclaim that this book, which we hold so dear, the most glorious of all books, the Word of God, is absolutely true. Amen? It is true. It is delivering. And there is no other book in all of the world whereby people can hear of God's great grace, but through the holy word of God. What a wonderful, wonderful word that he has given to us. Well, but then I want you to notice once again the instructions that the Lord Jesus gives to these men about what they can take and what they can't take. Rather interesting. Verse 8. These were his instructions. Notice, take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, that's one no. No bag, that's two no's. No money in your belt, that's three no's. Wear sandals, but not, that's four. Not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. Now, these instructions to yours and my way of thinking may seem very restrictive. Why did he give them to them? Why did he say no four times? The answer is very clear. The Lord Jesus wanted these dear men to understand that as they went out in his name, as they went with his authority to do battle against the enemy and to go to new places that they had not been to before, they had to completely depend upon him for the daily necessities of life. They had to depend upon him for the daily necessities of life. While they were with the Lord Jesus, there were other believers who traveled with them and helped them, mainly the women. In the Gospels, we are told that the women supplied these men food so that they could take their journeys. But now they were separated from him. Would they be able to make it? Well, they now would be dependent upon total strangers to minister to their needs of food and shelter and safety. But would these total strangers that they are going to, would they come through? Could they be depended upon? May I share with you that we need to understand that the Lord Jesus not only mapped out the places where these men were to go, but he also was fully aware of all that they needed as they were out serving him. May I share with you, there are times when you and I have, let's just face it, there are times that you and I know fear. Anybody here ever know fear? Am I the only one? Thanks, Kent. Thanks, the rest of you. There are times that we know fear, and we wonder if we can really make it. I want us to understand something that you have understood before. God takes care of his children. He takes care of his children. And as he sent these men out to minister to people that they did not know, and they would need a place to stay while they were there ministering to the people, the doors that would be open to them would be those of his divine choosing. There are no accidents with God. Underscore that. No accidents with God. When he sends out, he knows what is before them. He knows what is before us. He knows what he wants done. And in knowing those two things, he knows those that he can call upon, whether or not they honor him at the moment. He knows whom he can call upon to entertain and to minister to his people. In verse 10, the Lord said, whenever you enter a home, a house, stay there until you leave that town. This presupposes that the one opening the doors to these men are going to be willing to take care of them. And then he says, when that door is open, men, don't go from home to home. Don't look for making your place a better place or getting better food or better protection or better clothes that you do not have. When the door is open, you stay there until your time is done. Now, you know that we're all going back to Russia again in October. Well, there's another group that's leaving Tuesday, 28. And Don Biggie, who was here a few weeks ago, shared something with me a week ago Saturday. He says, you know, we've got a new guy who's coming with us for the first time. And he was a little upset that when he goes to Russia, to Kursk, he's not going to have a nice hotel to stay in. He says, my friend, what are you thinking of? We usually have a decent place at a church that had a Bible school. It's no longer in operation, but the building is there. It's a dorm-like setting, and we would go there, and it was fine. But then I learned from Larry Cook that that's not an option this year. So all of the people, one group's going to Belgorod, about 12 of them, and the rest of them are in Kursk region. Where are they going to stay? They're going to stay in one tiny apartment on air mattresses, and because they're all going to be together on the floor, they have to sleep fully clothed all the time that they're there. I'm anxious to hear what this dear man says about the door that has been opened for them. Pray for Joyce and I, we may have the same thing when we go in October. I hope not. But there's an interesting thing here, and I have to be quick. On the mission field today, missionaries are doing this. When the gospel has not gotten out to a town, a village, or a hamlet, whatever it may be, they are conducting what they call prayer walks. And they take walks through the neighborhoods, and they are literally asking the Lord for persons of peace. And though persons of peace is not mentioned in this passage of Scripture, that's exactly what is being talked about. What is a person of peace? A person of peace is someone who says, yes, I would be more than happy to have you come into my home and share the gospel. I would be more than happy for you to come so that I can invite my family and my friends to hear this brand new thing which you were giving to us. And so these men would be going into homes of people that we could call persons of peace. These persons of peace largely are unbelievers, but they are open to having somebody come in, if not live with them, to share the gospel with them. Now, people would say, how on earth would these people open their homes to the disciples? How on earth would they open their homes to the people today around the world who are sharing something that these people have never heard before? I want to ask you two questions. Who made men's hearts? God. Who put within men's hearts to have peace? God. Let me read now what I have written. If God can open the hearts of those who need Him and are seeking Him, then He most certainly can open the doors of their houses to those who are bringing the gospel to them. Therefore, what was needed on behalf of these 12 men as they went out two by two was faith, believing in that what Jesus had planned for them was really going to come forth. It was going to happen. They could depend upon Him. But now let's apply it to our lives. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about how we as the church need to get outside of these walls. It's not so much that we just, and I'm underlining the word just, invite people to come to church. That's good. We want to do that. We should do that. But our Christian discipleship is more than just inviting people to come in. Jesus says we need to go out. We need to share the gospel with people right where they are. The people that we rub shoulders with, we need to be open to the privilege under the guidance of the Holy Spirit to share Jesus with them. Therefore, I have a question for us. If the Lord Jesus is asking these men to go into new areas whereby they can share the gospel, and missionaries today around the world are taking prayer walks through neighborhoods that as of that moment do not have a gospel witness, seeking for someone to open the door of their home so that through the Holy Spirit they can open the door of their heart to Christ. Could not you and I take prayer walks in our neighborhood? Could I not take a prayer walk into my neighborhood, and as I walk by the homes that I see every day, could I not ask, dear Lord Jesus, is there someone here in my neighborhood that you want me to share with? Is there a home that could be open, Lord Jesus, that I could go in and share you with them? Now, we have a Bible study in our home. We have it every week. Praise God. Others of you do as well. But we need to be doing prayer walks, praying for our neighborhoods, and making ourselves available to those who do not know Christ, that they too would have open doors to their homes and to their hearts, whereby we could share the Lord Jesus Christ with them. Also, as we look at these items our Lord told these men to take with him, we see that they cover what we call the basic necessities: a staff or a walking stick, sandals, a belt, no money inside, one tunic or shirt. Interestingly, as you look at what the Lord Jesus tells them they can and cannot have, this is exactly what the Lord Jesus told the people of Israel that they could have with them as they left Egypt. In other words, they didn't need a bunch of extra things. They needed the necessities, and anything over and above the necessities, He would provide. And that's exactly what He's telling these dear men. As you go out to serve me, though it looks like your things are meager, understand, I, the Lord God, know all about you. I know your needs. I know your limitations. I know the obstacles that you're going to face. But men, you've got to trust me. Isn't that what was said in Hebrews 13:5, where the Lord says, I will never leave you, nor what? Forsake you. If the Lord Jesus wanted these men to have faith in His provision for them, He also wants you and me to have faith in His provision for us today. Well, now we understand from the study of God's Word that these men, except Judas, suffered much as they shared the gospel with others. What were they to do if they went into an area and a person of peace was not resident and the door was not opened so that they could share the gospel with them. Secondly, they were to leave a witness with these people and move on at God's direction. They were to leave a witness, and rather than fight that which is not going to open, move on at God's direction. Where do we get that? Look at verse 10, please. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony, what? Against them. The phrase "as a testimony against them" can also be written as a witness to them. And the witness to them was this: you need to repent. You've been given a word from God. You have rejected His word. You need to repent. And the shaking the dust off the shoes is what the missionaries did through the first century. Paul and Barnabas, as they went and shared the gospel of Christ, and the people did not listen to them. In Acts 13:51, they took off their sandals and they shook the dust onto them as a witness against them. There's a day of accountability coming, dear people. You must repent. Revelation 20 talks about that great day of accountability, the great white throne, which is where God judges from all time all those who do not have a personal relationship with Him. And this is why it's so important for us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior to be about God's business. It's not that we just read about what God did 2,000 years ago through His disciples. It's what the Holy Spirit wants to do through you and me right now. And saying that, I couldn't help but what Paul said in Romans 11. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what? Saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, now hear me, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I have a silly question in a way, but it's really very important. Tonight, spiritually speaking, how many of us have beautiful feet? How many of us have... Now, I know your wife tells you, men, oh, honey, you got beautiful feet. Need to clip your toenails, but you got beautiful feet. And we tell our wives, sweetheart, I told you, honey, you got beautiful feet. I love Joyce's feet. But you know what? Spiritual feet need to be beautiful. And the only way that our feet are spiritually beautiful is when they are used to tell others the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Dear people, are we sharing our faith with others that they too might find Jesus Christ as their Savior? Well, quickly, let's close. Look at verse 12 and 13. They went out and preached that people should what? Repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. This marks the beginning of their mission of going out and serving the Lord. There would be other times. Another place, 72 others would be added to their number. They would go out in Jesus' name with His authority and minister the gospel of His saving grace that people might repent of their sins. Repent isn't just being sorry for your sins. Repent means you're turning away from what you know and did to a brand new life with God. And so they are now going out in Jesus' name. We say, well, my goodness, this is awesome. Yes, it is. But here's the point. Up until the time the Lord Jesus sent them out, it wasn't that they just sat around the campfire and watched Jesus do the ministry. Jesus poured His life into these men. Sometimes we think we're successful because of how long we've known the Lord. No. How well we know God's word. No. how gifted we might be at serving him. No. These are not the criteria which prepare us most for ministry. Well, if these things aren't the most important, what is? Our time alone with the Lord Jesus. That's what prepares us to serve him best. So I have a question for us tonight. How much quality time are we spending alone with the Lord Jesus? You see, it's as we do this with the Lord Jesus that he shapes our life. Our faith is deepened. Our desire to serve him is deepened. In spite of the obstacles, in spite of all that we know about ourselves, Lord, I can't do it. My mom used to say to me, Roger Allen, when she really got ticked, it was Roger Allen. Roger Allen, don't you ever use the word can't. There's no such word as can't. Good word. The Lord Jesus would say, now, wait a minute. I'm God. I have all power. I have all authority. I know who you are. I know your limitations. I know your fears. You've put your life in my hands. Can you not trust me to do in you what you cannot do for yourself? Of course, the answer should be yes. Many years ago, there was a dear man who took Mark 6:31. Jesus said in Mark 6:31, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Vance Havner was a man used of God to travel around the world to preach the gospel. He was mentored to Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel Ministries. And Vance Havner said this about, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. He says, if we don't take time to come apart with Jesus, we just plain come apart. That's a good word. If we do not take time to come apart with Jesus, we just plain come apart. Dear people, how is our quiet time with Jesus? Are we spending quality time with him? It's not just reading a passage of scripture so we can mark it off that we read it that day, but it's getting alone with God in his word and inviting the Holy Spirit to make that word real in our hearts and putting his finger on our lives where we need to hear from him. Sometimes it's very soothing. At other times it's like a hammer. But it's that time which hones us as to the people that he wants us to be. Well, these men, because they'd spent time alone with Jesus, they had heard his words and they were under his authority and going out in his power, because they dared to believe him, they preached his word. People did repent. Demons were cast out. And many sick people were made whole. Not because of any inherent ability within them, but because they had spent time alone with their master, being prepared by him for daily living and daily service. Dear people, if our world is to hear of Jesus Christ, then you and I must get alone with him. For apart from him, we will just plain come apart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you now for your word. We thank you for the privilege of being here tonight and being your family. And Lord, I cannot speak for anybody else. I know the spiritual needs that I have in my own life, my own heart. Lord, I pray that we would be honest with you, that we would just put everything out, as we say, on the table and say, Lord Jesus, this is my life. This is my fear. These are my apprehensions. But I understand from your word that you are the God of the impossible. Lord, I want to serve you. I want to be used of you. I humbly ask you by your Spirit to work in my life so that I too would possess beautiful feet, spreading the gospel of Christ for the glory of your name. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.